Good afternoon, everyone. Glad to see you're here. So Jesus asked the question in Luke 18, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's a good question. We see faith crumbling all around us. Things of faith are being attacked from every angle. When Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? If we are to make our calling and election sure, if we are to walk by faith and not by sight, if we want to answer Christ's question with a resounding yes, we must combat and overcome the enemies of faith. There are four of them, four categories. They are, number one, anxious care. Number two, fear. Number three, doubt. And number four, human reason. So in order again, anxious care, fear, doubt, and human reason. Let's take a moment and recap all four of these as they appear in the book of Matthew. They're right in order, easy to find. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start with that one. Matthew chapter 6, and you might want to bookmark Matthew chapter 6 because we will spend a little bit of time there today. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to read verse 30. This is the first enemy of faith, anxious care. This first illustration is part of the Sermon on the Mount with multitudes gathered around, and Christ is teaching them about life and how they should conduct their lives. After the Beatitudes and teaching them to love your enemies, how they should give to the needy, and how to pray, he tells them how God cares for the birds and the lilies of the field. We just sang about that, didn't we? He says this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? This exact expression of little faith, O you of little faith, only appears five times in the Bible. All of them are said by Jesus himself. Four of them are in Matthew that I'll show you, and once in Luke's version of the same passage we just read over in Luke chapter 12. It is a combination of two words, one meaning uncertain, can also be translated as small or puny or little, but I like the meaning uncertain in this case. It is a combination of two words, one meaning uncertain and the other meaning faith. O you of uncertain faith. Number two is fear. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8, just a few pages over. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll look at verse 26. This is the second of the four. This is the account of them crossing the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat, and a storm arises, and they wake him up, and he calms the sea. He says this in verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Turn over to Matthew 14. We'll look at the next one. Doubt. Number three is doubt. This is the account of when Peter walks on the water. You know, we have a tendency to think Jesus is the only one that walked on the water. So did Peter. And he did so until he noticed the wind and the waves around him, and he begins to sink. In verse 31 of chapter 14, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Turn over to Matthew 16, and we'll look at verse 6, starting in verse 6. This is human reason. Number four is human reason. Our ability to reason is of God. God gave us this ability. It's what sets us apart from the animals. But reason, apart from God, can sometimes get twisted. This is the account of Jesus teaching the disciples to beware of the leaven of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees and they thought he was talking about actual bread. Matthew 16, verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it must be because we didn't take any bread. To which Jesus, when he perceived this, he said, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? So these are the four enemies of faith, as illustrated by Jesus himself, but today we only have time for one. Anxious care or anxiety is the one we'll be examining today. We'll look at seven reasons to avoid anxiety, and we'll look into the Word of God at five things to remember in order to overcome anxious care. So for those of us who like things numbered, we have four enemies of faith, seven reasons to avoid anxiety, and five things to remember. If you don't get any of it, remember the five things. That's why it's remember. The title of the sermon today is Anxious for Nothing. Anxious for Nothing. I dare say that the predominant feeling that we see around us today that we're all feeling is anxious care. We're anxious about the economy, our jobs, our health, our financial situation, our families, schooling, relationships, and national direction and leadership, just to name a few. We use words like worry, afraid, uneasy, nervous, and uncertain to describe these very feelings. Now, there's no doubt we live in an anxious and uncertain time, and uncertainty is the key word here when it comes to anxiety. We're uncertain about what is going on and what we're going to do about it. We're uncertain about how it will play out, and we're uncertain about our ability to deal with it. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians that we are to be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Brilliant. Simple. Easily said. Harder to do. Why? Because it's not by mere happenstance that we find ourselves in situations that cause us to be anxious. Because there is a war on for our hearts and minds, a deliberate attack to derail us from the path we're on. The prince of the power of the air is continuously attacking and broadcasting his propaganda. The whole point of human existence is centered on whom will we serve. The evil one knows that he has but a short time, and he'll do everything within his power to capture our attention, to capture our hearts and minds, and turn us away from God and his way of life. Anxiety comes down to fear of not being in control. When we're uncertain, we fear not being able to control our circumstances and therefore are anxious about the outcome. We have a sense of apprehension concerning the reality and the nature of the threat, and by self-doubt about our capacity to deal with it, our capacity to cope. Anxiety has a negative effect on every aspect of our lives. There are many reasons why we should avoid anxiety, and we'll look at seven. Seven reasons to avoid anxiety. Number one, anxiety divides and separates us. Anxiety divides and separates us. It divides your mind. Anxiety is a distraction. It pulls you in many different directions so that you can't concentrate or focus. And whatever divides your mind diverts your attention from important matters and clouds your focus. Anxious care or worry means or is to be divided of heart. It begs the question, whom will you serve? Turn back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Whom will you serve? You cannot be materialistic, that is, overly concerned about the things of this life, and serve God with your whole heart. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Matthew 6, verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. That's where anxiety comes from. We're afraid of losing what we have. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hearts and minds. Drop down to verse 24. It says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Number two, reasons to avoid anxiety. Anxiety goes against Scripture. We know this. There are many scriptures that tell us this. We just read one in Philippians. But do you ever feel guilty for being a Christian who isn't anxious for nothing? Does being anxious make you more anxious because you feel like you're not supposed to be anxious? Like maybe you don't have enough faith? You're anxious for being anxious. Too often we feel weighed down by guilt because we think Christians aren't supposed to feel this way. If you're struggling with anxiety, it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have enough faith. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're not trusting God enough. In fact, what if anxiety could be the very thing that helps you to learn to rely and trust on God? Could anxiety be the catalyst that is drawing you closer to Him? Number three, reasons to avoid anxiety. Anxiety leads to adverse health issues. Anxiety leads to adverse health issues. Anxiety and stress can lead to all kinds of things. The body responds to whatever is in the mind. It has been proven there is a mind-body connection, psychosomatic. What happens in the mind affects the body. What happens in the body affects the mind. If we're constantly unsettled, anxious, and generally not in a calm state of mind, if we're constantly thinking about other things, it can cause all kinds of ills. It manifests in many different ways. It could be cardiovascular disease. It could be hypertension, headaches, colitis, ulcers, skin disease like psoriasis, eczema, or acne, and a weakened immune system. All these can have their origination in anxiety. When we're full of uncertainty, dread, fear, and frustration, it's going to affect the body. Number four, reason to avoid anxiety. Anxiety leads to unwise decisions. Anxiety leads to unwise decisions. When a person is anxious, their imagination tends to jump ahead and they do things they probably shouldn't. If I don't do this now, I may not get another chance. That's FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. If I don't do this, I'll miss out. If I don't do what others are doing, I'll miss out. If I don't invest my life savings in FTX cryptocurrency, I'll miss out on a huge financial gain. If I don't marry this person, I may end up all alone. People make unwise decisions because they're anxious about an uncertain future and missing out on opportunities that may never come their way again. Always second-guessing, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, double-minded. Number five, reasons to avoid anxiety. Anxiety affects personal relationships. Anxiety affects your personal relationships with other people. We all know people who are anxiety-ridden. Every time you see these individuals, they can't wait to tell you about the latest drama in their lives. You don't want to be one of these people. They don't want your help or your advice. They just want to draw you into the drama. They want you to be anxious with them. They don't want to deal with it. It just gives them, that's how they get their sense of identity. It's who they are. It gives them the attention they crave. Their anxiety causes drama in their lives that they insist on sharing with you. It affects their relationship with everyone around them, including you. Number six, anxiety steals our peace and joy. Number six reason to avoid anxiety, it steals our peace and joy. You can have joy and be full of anxiety. You can have peace and be full of anxiety. To have peace is to be calm and feel safe, whereas anxiety means you feel unsettled, disconnected, and scattered. So you can either have one or the other, but you can't experience both. Number seven reason to avoid anxiety. Anxiety is a waste of time and energy. Anxiety is a terrible waste of time and energy. When you're frustrated, anxious, and uncertain about things, you can't do your best. You won't feel your best, and you won't focus on doing the things you know you need to do in life. Most of the things that you worry about don't happen anyway. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 down to verse 34. The Bible tells us where a life filled with anxious care leads. Luke 21, verse 34. This is Christ talking again. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Surfeiting, that's an odd word, isn't it? Wasteful living is what it means. Partying, dissipation. It's a form of running away from your own life. Many of our addictions, I would say most, are an attempt to escape from the life we're living. Some may even use prescriptions to calm their nerves. Others may use illegal drugs or alcohol. Do we need to be medicated in order to cope? Or is there a biblical solution for the anxieties of the soul? God doesn't want us living our lives filled with anxiety. Anxiety divides your mind, diverts your attention, slows your productivity, affects your health and your personal relationships, leads to unwise decisions, steals your joy and peace, and proves to be just a plain waste of time and energy. What if the answer to overcoming our anxious cares of life is not less stress, but more God? What if the answer is not less stress, but more God? Why not construct our lives around God's plan for our life, His way, instead of one that we feel we need to escape from? Now we'll move on to five things to remember. Five things to remember to overcome anxiety. Number one, remember what God has done in the past. Remember what God has done in the past. Turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14, we'll start in verse 7. Remember what God has done in the past. Not doing this is exactly what made God angry with the Israelites in the wilderness. After they listened to the evil report of the spies that scouted out the promised land, Joshua and Caleb said this in Numbers 14, verse 7. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we possess, which we pass through to search it, is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation said, Stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. They wanted to stone them, and the glory of the Lord, God's coming down, go, wait a minute. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I've showed among them? I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. God was ready to wipe them out and start all over with Moses. But Moses was able to intercede on their behalf. Drop down to verse 20. Numbers 14, verse 20. Verse 20, Numbers 14 and verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, according to Moses' intercession. But as truly as I live on all the earth, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, basically with or without them. Verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory, my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it? How many signs did God show them when they were in Egypt? How many plagues were there? What about the water from the rock? What about the manna? What about the quails? Yet they forgot everyone and were unthankful. They didn't remember God's faithfulness toward them. We need to remember all the times God has been faithful toward us. Remembering the times when God came through for us gives us peace and builds trust. Builds trust that he will do it again. When we trust in God, our mind is at peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Another one you may want to bookmark. I know I got you two. I got you Matthew 6 and 1 Peter 5. Number two, reason to things to remember to overcome anxiety. Let me put my page over here. Five things to remember to overcome anxiety. Number two, remember to be humble before God. Remember to be humble before God. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Why do we have anxious hearts? The painful answer is pride. Pride. So how is anxious care a form of pride? God, who knows the heart, tells us we overcome anxious care by humbling ourselves under his mighty hand and casting our cares upon him. Do we believe that God is sovereign over all? Is God still on his throne and able to do all he pleases? Does he have control over every circumstances of your life? Or do you? Turn over to Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. Daniel chapter 4, 35. Nebuchadnezzar found out the hard way that he didn't have control over his life. And after 7 years of eating grass, he finally admitted it in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So Nebuchadnezzar had to learn a hard lesson. Turn over to John chapter 5. Christ himself even said he could do nothing in and of himself. John chapter 5, we'll look at verse 30. John 5 and verse 30. John 5 verse 30 reads, and this again is Christ speaking, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Seek not mine own will. When we're willful, we're prideful. Turn over to John 15. While you're in John chapter 15. Christ can do nothing in and of himself, and neither can we apart from him. John chapter 15, we'll look at verse 4 and 5. John 15 verse 4 reads, again, it's Christ speaking, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Why? For without me, you can do nothing. We demonstrate our obedience to God by humbling ourselves before him. The answer for the anxious heart is humility. Overcome anxiety with humility. Does the Father care about his children? Does he care about us? Can we trust him with every aspect of our lives? Do we trust him with every aspect of our lives? When I worry or I'm anxious, either I believe he doesn't know what's troubling me, or I believe he has no control over what's troubling me, or I believe he doesn't really care about me. In fact, whether we realize it or not, our anxious hearts say to our Father, I trust me with me more than I trust you with me. I trust me to take care of me more than I trust you to take care of me. If someone in our congregation today were to say to you, I am better equipped to take care of myself than God, what would you say to that person? Would that be prideful? What you're saying is that I trust myself to handle this problem more than I trust God to handle it. If that isn't pride, I don't know what is. When we cast our cares onto God, we are humbling ourselves before his mighty hand. Until we stop thinking that he really doesn't know, or really isn't in control, or really doesn't care, until we put away our pride and change our hearts, we are shutting ourselves off from God's help. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The problem with the anxious heart is pride, and the answer is humility. It is humility that brings hope to the anxious heart. We don't deserve that God should take care of us in this way, but yet that is exactly what he does. Not because we deserve it, but by his grace. He is gracious and good and loves us. We humble ourselves when we acknowledge God's sovereignty in our lives and rejoice in it. We must be willing to praise him even in the storms of life, acknowledging that he knows what's best for us, to teach or to chastise. Storms reveal our level of trust. Sometimes he gives us peace from the storm, but sometimes he gives us peace in the midst of the storm. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. The promise that we can live anxious for nothing isn't based on what we can produce, but on the presence of God. Being anxious for nothing doesn't mean there won't ever be anything to be anxious about, but because of Jesus Christ, we can live anxious for nothing even when there is something to be anxious about, not by our efforts, but by his presence. Look at James chapter 4. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. James 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Number three, things to remember to overcome anxiety. Remember, you're not in this alone. Remember, you're not in this alone. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. After telling us how to overcome anxious care through humility, Peter then tells us to be vigilant, to be on the lookout, to be watchful, spiritually watchful. When we find ourselves becoming anxious or fearful, we are most vulnerable to the evil one who walks about as a roaring lion, deliberately seeking whom he may devour. Deliberately, not by happenstance. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll start in verse 5 again and read down through verse 9. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So you're submitting to an elder. Yea, all of you, subject yourselves one to another. We subject ourselves one to another in humility. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We humble ourselves to God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And verse 9 is where I was trying to get to. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Notice what Peter's saying here, right after telling us how to overcome our anxieties by submitting to God and to be subject one to another, he tells us we're not alone. We are not singular in our fight. We are not singular in our vulnerability to fear and anxious care. The rest of our brethren around the world are also. The entire body of Christ is susceptible. As sheep who wander from the shepherd, we become more vulnerable the farther we go from the rest of the flock and from the shepherd. We're not in this alone, and it's prideful to think that we are. We're not so special that this has never happened to anyone before. And you don't have to go it alone. Be subject one to another. Confess your faults or weaknesses to one another, and let your brothers and sisters in Christ pray for you, bolster you, and lift you up. This is in James 5, verse 16. Satan is like a roaring lion who separates his prey from the pack so they will be weak and alone. Separated from God and our brothers and sisters in Christ is a dangerous place to be. Number four, things to remember to overcome anxiety. Number four, remember to do nothing. Be still. Remember to do nothing. Be still. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, please. 11, verse 28, we'll read. Looking back on times when I was most anxious, one thing I came to realize that I wasn't trying was not trying. Not trying. Not trying to fix it myself. You have to pay attention to see it, but in the following verses are implicit instructions from Christ to do nothing. Yeah, seriously, nothing. There are innumerable verses like this, and we'll just look at a few. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28, this again is Christ speaking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's the one providing relief here, not us. We just have to come to him. Turn over to John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14 and 27 is Christ speaking to us again. John 14, verse 27. You've heard this verse many times. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gives us peace. He gives us rest. He's giving it to us. We do nothing but be still and humbly and gratefully receive it. Turn back over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. These are the verses we typically turn to when we talk about anxious cares in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and I'll be reading, believe it or not, from the NIV, which is a rarity for me, but I like the way it's worded. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You want to apply your own efforts to overcome anxiety? Here's where you apply it. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness. Seek his face. And all these things will be given. Some things we just can't do for ourselves, but that's exactly how he designed it. That doesn't mean we don't ever have to work for things. He gives us things just because of who he is, because he loves us. But often he gives us things by way of opportunity to work for them. Even the manna in the wilderness didn't drop down in front of the tent door in a nice little container. Everybody had to go out and gather it themselves. It wasn't until I took a breath, rested, truly came to God, got quiet, let go of all the details, told God that I trusted him completely, and then learned to be still, that I finally found peace. Ultimately, my prayers are becoming less about my situation and more about my trust in him. Turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46, this is a great psalm to turn to when you're feeling a little bit out of sorts. Psalm 46, we'll look at verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10 reads, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Be still or cease striving, as it says in the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. Cease striving. Be still and know that I am God. Selah. Think on that. Number five, things to remember to overcome anxiety. Number five is remember who you are. Remember who you are. Turn back to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at verse 25. Remembering who we are points us to Christ. Hidden within a verse we typically turn to when we're looking for the solution to anxious care is Jesus Christ himself. This one verse points us to the one who can calm our anxious hearts. One verse. And we'll take it piece by piece. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Again, Christ is speaking to us. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Your life. You could say, take no thought for this life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Not this life. Continuing, or what you will eat. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the bread of life. He is our sustenance. Continuing, or what you will drink. Jesus is a fountain of living water. Nor about your body. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, but keep your place here. We're coming back. Nor about your body. Care about your body or about the body of Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Eyes off of self. Eyes off of self and on others. Caring for the welfare of others in the body of Christ is a great way to relieve your anxiety. Back to Matthew chapter 6. We'll finish out verse 25. It says, and what don't worry about what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Key on this verse, or this one part that says what you will put on. Turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 10. You didn't think you were going to get out of here without some Romans, did you? No, always got to talk about Romans. Okay. Romans 13, chapter 13, verse 10. Love does not harm or does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time that it is now, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep. It's high time now, isn't it? For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, like we read in Luke, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Verse 14, here's what we put on. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Put on Christ. Turn over to Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. We'll look at another place where it tells us again what we are to put on. Not worried about our clothing, What do we put on? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. It reads this way. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So we see in just one verse who it is that provides our every need. This one verse points us to Jesus Christ. Worrying doesn't solve anything. Do you have control over it? No? Then don't worry about it. Go to God. Give it to God. Worry hinders our faith. Don't let anxious cares separate you from God and your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you feel most like being alone is when you are most vulnerable and need to run toward them, not away from them. Remember who you are. You are the elect of God. We just read that. You are a child of the living God. Psalm 82, 6. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, 31. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Romans 8, 37 to 39. Be still and know that I am God. We read that verse in Psalms 46. Know that God loves you and has your best interest at heart. It may appear that Satan is winning the battle over faith when we look at what's happening all around us. But fret not. There's a ragtag remnant that will hold the line and keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus even unto death. We will not give up. We will not give in. And we will prevail in the end. As Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, now the Lord of peace give himself, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all.